it feels that Christianity is a Western religion or Western thing, but like hearing that stories that from the 500 years ago, people died for their faith in Jesus, it makes me feel like it's cheering on to the modern Christians in Japan. So you can do that. Like you can do that, that kind of,
Hello, today we're going to do things a little bit differently on the Rodcast. We've got Pastor Tasuke. Pastor Tasuke is one of our great pastors in Japan, and we're talking today about samurai culture. Everybody go, like the deep voice in the Japanese movies. It's very, very cool. So we're going to talk about samurai, and it's interesting because I've been here 23 years and Tasuke's been here all his life.
Yes.
But we've sort of combined our Western Japanese thinking together for this Rodcast. I think it's going to be interesting how samurai culture and New Testament teaching in a lot of things are very similar. Very interesting indeed. Mm. So I'll just start. Tasuke, being Japanese, do you watch a lot of samurai things watching up or not really? Growing up or not really in Japan?
Like animation, like kids animation, it's like samurai movie, yes, but it's when I became an adult, I started watching the Akira Kurosawa, Seven Samurais, that kind of like, you know, movie things. And but yes, it's been really my favorite.
Well, we
thing.
In the West, I think we have more because it's like growing up, anime, but there used to be some live action things that never made it to Japanese TV, they were Japanese productions. One of them was called Shintaro, and he was a lone samurai who was a good man, and with his sword, and he used to beat the baddies. And I came here and said, have you guys watched Shintaro? And Japanese have no idea. And the other one was called the Iga Ninjas from central Japan, and they used to jump on roofs and throw the shuriken, you know, star. And I came here – Iga Ninjas, and the Japanese said, we don't know what you're talking about. So I don't know why, but I think Westerners do have a large exposure to the word samurai and the concept of samurai, ninjas, shuriken, you know, the sword and the honor. I think we actually do have quite a bit of background, but it's all Japanese. And so it's really interesting that we would then talk of samurai as in the Bible. So what we're going to do is just discuss that because I'm doing some research on Japan and the gospel, and you do come across samurai culture for our new Japanese believers. So Tasuke has been saved. What? How many years now you've been a believer in Jesus?
12 years.
In Jesus, how did you... get saved? Just a short version of coming to church and just share.
Yeah, it's. I think the first thing that I started thinking about life is actually the big earthquake in 2011, and I started thinking, oh wow, things can go away easily. So what's the point of my life? I started kind of seeking about the purpose in life, and then that time, one of the pastors invited me to church. And they came to church, culture shock, music and worship and the word. And someone gave me a Bible, the short Bible. And I read the Gospel of John. And I prayed, if you're real, change my life. And he did.
On that, what you read the Bible and you realized there was a God and Jesus. What was the touch of God on your heart? What was it the Bible? Was it going to church? Just being alone with God, what was the touch of God moment?
I think that if I said 3 points, it's one is at the entrance, the welcome team. When the welcome team welcomed me, it's kind of like, you know, you don't know me, but how can you welcome me like that? That kind of opened my heart a little bit. The second is the worship. It's music. It's the atmosphere. It kind of like, what is this? That drawer, I felt. And the third is the gospel. When I read through the book of John and read the cross and the resurrection, I actually felt the voice in my heart that Tasuke, this is for you. And I felt like this became so personal. And so that I think that these three points.
Amazing. So here we are 12 years later. You're a great pastor, great preacher, great husband and father. It's been a good journey, right? Learning and growing. And so you enjoying everything you're doing right now?
I'm really, 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 really enjoying it.
And one of the things that Tuska and I do for our listeners is we do talk about Japanese culture and the gospel. We actually do engage in that. And as a foreigner, I'm asking lots of questions, but I'm also doing research. I'm asking the Japanese, and they're doing research in both Japanese and English. And so we're sort of coming together with this local theology or local understanding of what it means to be a true Japanese and a true Christian. So one of the things recently is we're doing a series on the armor of God, and we talked about the armor, the Roman armor that Paul would have talked about in Ephesians 6. And then we talked about the Japanese samurai armor, and we realized it was very similar. In fact, we're using a lot of imagery from the samurai armor to relate to the Japanese, and it's a lot of fun. But in that, we actually asked one of our young Japanese men, Naoya, to come and show us the Japanese bow and arrow. But we said, don't bring arrows in. Japanese won't like it in the church. And when I said that, everyone laughed. But the bow and how the bow was the strongest thing in technology in many, many years ago before guns. And so he came into a new believer, came in, and he demonstrated his archery, pulling the bow back, which is very difficult. And we were talking about the strength of God. And at the end of the service, I said to him, Naoya, you look like God has touched you afresh. He was already a believer, already baptized 6 months earlier. And he just sort of teared up a little bit, not crying, but just a little bit, and he said, I understand today how my Bushido and my Jesus became one. I'm truly Japanese and truly an archer. And it was really powerful for me as a foreigner to hear that God had touched him through his art form as a Japanese and saying, you can be Japanese and fully Christian. And I think that's why we started talking a lot more about samurai. That this word Bushido, by the way, means the way of the chivalrous warrior, the British knights and the samurai are sort of similar. Now, you were telling me this morning that this famous book by Nitobe called The Samurai Soul of Japan was first written for foreigners. Could you just tell us that story? Why this book on samurai became popular in America?
Yeah, so he actually was studying in the U.S. and one day he was talking to one of the person, and then the person asked Nitobe, so how do you teach the Japanese a religious teaching? And then Nitobe said, we don't have anything like that. And so how do you teach the virtue to the next generation in the Japan in school? Nitobe started thinking, couldn't answer at all. And he started a journey of, okay, what's the soul of Japan? What's the center of Japan? And he wanted to explain that to the Western world. So he put everything together and written in English and published that. Yes.
And we're not saying samurai means Christian. That's not what we're here today to discuss. But what we're going to say is samurai is Japanese. And so we need to understand the culture to bring the gospel to Japan. And so in that story, I also heard, it was written in English, but then very soon was given to the president of the United States, whether it was, I forget who it was, Eisenhower or was somebody. And he bought he got like 30 copies and gave to all his high-level people around him because he was so impacted by this virtue of a samurai concept. It was so similar to a lot of the New Testament teaching of Jesus on character. Not on salvation, but on character. And I think this is really important in this discussion on Japan, because when people come to Japan today, they always say they're the most polite people in the world and the most respectful people in the world, and there's no rubbish on the streets and very little poverty. It's an amazing country. And you, as a Japanese, you must love hearing that, right? Like people loving on Japan.
Yeah, I was really happy to like hear those things that like Japanese people clean up their like a studio in some other country or something. Wow, good yeah. job, everyone.
I remember that. That was in somewhere in Russia there. Was the Winter Games, I think, Winter Olympic Games. And even when Japan lost, let's say it was ice skating or whatever it was, everyone left, but the Japanese stayed and cleaned up the whole stadium. And everyone, it was the whole world was watching going, whoa, who are these people? So, yeah, it must be great to be Japanese and realize the world is applauding and clapping a great culture. And right now, I think more people come to Japan than almost any other nation on holidays. And everyone goes back saying, what a great country. So here is this country that we love, you love and I love, being a foreigner. And but there's these values here. It's not salvation. We're not talking about being believers in Jesus, but there's a virtue or a chivalrous conduct. And Nitobe talks about that in his book. I think it's I've read either 7 or 8 values.
Yeah.
So what are some of those values that, because are you reading the book now?
Yeah, I'm reading the book now. And then I also read all the 7 characters in it. And it's the interesting fact is like he's writing it as a Christian, as a believer, and then like put the some like parables from the like for the Western people, but some are like really, you know, it's from the old book, but still here in this 2025 Japan, it's same virtue, the same good things, and I found
So when the gospel first arrived here 500 years ago with Francis Xavier, most people know that name. I think Japanese learned that name at school. Is that right?
Yes, it's in history.
So that was when Christianity first came to Japan, and it within one generation, or a little over, the figures are very different. But something like 3 million Japanese had received Jesus; they became Catholic, and then great persecution happened for 250 years. Think North Korea level persecution for 250 years, and the Christians were eliminated. But during those 50 years, there was an incredible move of God 500 years ago in Japan. Not many people know about this. I guess as a young Christian, you didn't know that, right? They don't teach that in the history books.
So yeah, it's written in Japanese. It's just like only small column. It's not a big stories there.
So it's like one paragraph. Just this was part of our history, So as we research it, it actually is a big part of history. A lot was introduced at that time, both good and bad, actually. So from the West, Japanese finally got guns and gunpowder and that sort of thing, but also they got the good news of Jesus, and the Bible was translated to Japanese. So at that time, there was a great move of God in Japan. Here's what I want to say. Francis Xavier has a quote, and he says, I've never found anyone in the whole world from the non-Christian nations that are so nice and so polite as the Japanese. He writes back to Europe and says there's something very special in the Japanese heart. And I think this is the interesting thing I want to get to about samurai doesn't mean they're Christians, but samurai is a law code that brings a good society. Very interesting. As one of our favorite movies, Tusuke and I have been talking about, is one called The Seven Samurai. In Japanese, what's it called?
Shinin no Samurai.
And from that, we get the Western movie, The Magnificent Seven. It's like in Japanese, a little village is attacked by terrible bandits. And these samurai, who are not very strong and not very united, get united over their samurai values and help the village to win. It's a great movie. 3 hours. and no translation. So you've got to read subtitles if you want the English. But it's called Seven Samurai in Japanese by Akira Kurosawa, who I think is one of the greatest directors of all times. Very famous and many Western movies, even Star Wars, believe it or not. George Lucas, as he was looking at that movie, had inspiration for Darth Vader and the good guys and the bad guys.
Wow.
Very interesting, the impact. But in that movie, the samurai values had to be restored because the seven samurai were not very good men, but they had the capacity to be good men. They had the call to be Japanese. And as they rose up, they helped the village. So you've seen that many years ago. How did that impact you, the Seven Samurai movie?
Yeah, it was interesting because of Japanese audio, but I need to understand the story with the English subtitles.
What?
They speak like, and I couldn't understand anything. The story was amazing. And the heart of a samurai is amazing. It really impacted me.
So let's have a quick chat about what some of the values are. The values, let's say seven values, they're all really good Bible values. So things like persistence, courage, loyalty, service. Not necessarily forgiveness in a pure sense, but definitely not holding grudge, not holding resentment, not acting out of revenge. So there's a lot of values that are very, very interesting. That if you looked at all seven, you would find something them in the teaching of Jesus. In fact, politeness, there was a quote there in Nitobe's book, which grabbed me. He said, to the Japanese, politeness is a form of love. And really, being here 23 years and just reading that this year, I was just stunned. And I thought, that is because people don't understand why Japan are polite. And he answered it, it's a form of love. And I think that's an incredible concept. It's sort of like Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's and of course, you know, or do to others as you would want them to do to you. And I think that's truly the Japanese culture ingrained the way they, you know, treat other people and always, you know, I'm sorry, sumasen, and I don't want to hurt, don't want to criticize and a lot of good things. And the way it happens in the culture is an almost perfect culture.
Yeah.
Things run on time. Mm. There's no rubbish in the streets. You don't often see any confrontation or difficulty. It might be there, but you don't see it. And I think that this is the Japanese samurai culture of politeness, showing love to communities. What would you say about that?
Yeah, definitely. They're being polite to people. It's something that it's not only taught in school, but also taught in the family and things. But it's like we didn't feel like it's kind of like, you know, you have to. It's a kind of culture, right? It's like, you know, you see the parents and being nice, polite to other parents or something like that. And then, so, yeah, in Japan, it's being polite. It's not like a super effort thing, but it's kind of naturally like how grows that. But keigo is every Japanese struggle too. To keigo means a polite way to say things. Yes.
Yeah, and for us foreigners, we're saying what? It's like another language. It's you've got two languages. So there is a pecking order, which is the negative. It makes people feel very stressed. Am I saying the right words? But in the good side, it is showing tremendous love to the family, to community, and to outsiders. And I think, you know, outsiders from every part of the world say it's the same treatment. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's interesting that Nitobe is saying that the form is just the important thing is the heart. It's not the things you do. So even if you do the polite things, but you don't have the polite heart, it's not that ray. It's not the politeness. So it's interesting.
The true samurai is from the heart. And I think this is some people ask me as a foreigner that observing the politeness is like, is it true to the heart? Is it just an act or is it real? And I say, well, it's as real as the heart. And I think that's the beauty of Japan. I've seen people in restaurants being treated so well and then not being allowed to tip. To give a tip, and they look at me and I say, "Yeah, that's the Japanese. They served you because they want to serve you." On the other side, they also feel self-esteem when they serve, And this is good for us in church life when we want to build serving teams. Japanese say, what can I do? Even non-Christians, they say, what can I do in church? I want to do something. And I think it's a true desire. So that's one of the samurai's heart values. And then there's others, such as loyalty to their lord. As a non-Christian, that probably means the company or their family. But as believers, it means to Jesus. They've actually become great disciples because now they have a heart loyalty to the King of Kings. What would you say about that?
Mm. Yeah, so this word in Japanese, chuse, chugi, is a royal loyalty. And then it's basically like summarized, died for their master. It's kind of this famous thing to imagine. But the Nitobe also says that it's not just die for the master is the important things. When the master is wrong, but the servant correct that master with his life. So it's kind of like really to make it better, to make the best, do the best. And then, so like even if you cost a life, you be faithful to the master is the heart.
And I think he and the great swordsman Musashi says, samurai don't want to die. It's not like I'm going to die, but they will die at the right time. I think this is really important that it's not about I'm just giving my life away. It's for a great cause. But the samurai at that time will say the cause or the master is greater than me. I think that's an incredible concept as believers in Jesus, because there's been so many Japanese believers who have died for Jesus during that Middle Ages where it was persecution. Now, I've heard different figures on this, but let's say there was 500,000 Japanese over a long period of time, 500,000 died for Jesus Christ. That's unbelievable. It's and Japanese can't believe it. It's like unknown history.
And they could go home if they denied Jesus.
And to deny Jesus doesn't mean they say with their lips, I deny Jesus or I don't believe in Jesus. They just had to step on a painting or a picture of Jesus as a baby with Mary. It's a Mary and baby Jesus. It's a picture put on the ground. All they had to do was walk on it and walk home. That's all they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not even physically deny Jesus, just step on the picture of Jesus, which was denial. And they say up to 500,000 man, woman, and children would not do that. They would not do that, and they were tortured and died. And there's a terrible movie called Silence and a book by Endo Shusaku and Shusaku, who was a Catholic in Japan, and he wrote this book after research. And it's a terrible book in that it just shows the torture and the death. But the other side is the unbelievable loyalty of the Japanese to Jesus Christ. It's absolutely amazing, right? How do you feel about that when you think of your ancestors? This is the history.
Yeah, because it feels the Christianity is a Western religion or Western thing. But like hearing that stories that from the 500 years ago, people died for their faith in Jesus, it felt that like it's in the soil, it's in the land of Japan that people died for their master, our master, the Jesus, with that they held on to the faith even though they faced this difficulty. It makes me feel like it's cheering on to the modern Christians in Japan. So you can do that. Like you can do that. Yeah. That kind of, So it feels like encouraging.
Hebrews 12:1 says there's a great cloud of witnesses. People have died. The Hebrews 11 crew, Moses and David and all those guys have died, have gone to heaven. And they're a great cloud of witnesses cheering us. Well, there's also a great cloud of Japanese witnesses in heaven cheering and saying, go Japan. And I think that's quite an incredible concept that, you know, God is really interested in Japan. So it's great. So with the samurai concept, some people think, well, how can, like, we talk about Christian values and samurai who has swords and kills people, but we're not talking about the swordsmanship. We're talking about the values, the seven values. Yeah. And I was also reading, Nitobe was asked a question, what is the religion of Japan? Is it Shinto? Is it Buddhist? Mm. Is it ancestor worship? And his answer was, no, the religion of Japan is Japanese. and I think after World War II, when there was such a change occurred from the militarist to the peaceful Japan,
mm.
such a change, mm. but the values of samurai did not change. The values of honor mm. and respect, that didn't change. And that's how I see Nitobe's comment, is that take away all the militarist and the swords and that, take away that, what you find is a heart that has a law base, mm. A base to follow law, and to mm. when they hear of the law of Jesus, which is love, they like that.
Mm.
It fits.
Yeah.
And that's where I think there is incredible encouragement here. So the word samurai, the ancient meaning is servant. It comes from the verb to serve. Is that correct?
Yeah, to serve. And in the original like meaning of samurai is to protect right. their land. Yeah, so it's the start yeah. from that. We have to armed up to protect. Yeah.
So it's not to go around with swords and whatever, although the swords are part of protection. Mm. But the original word yeah. means to protect your community, to protect your village. I think it's really mm. important. And this word samurai describes believers who have the right values. But listen to this. I'm going to read you from Isaiah 52, which is Old Testament, talking about Jesus coming. Mm. So it's in yeah. Hebrew and Greek Old Testament. And it's just before Isaiah 53, which is the big one of he's going to die on the cross, take our sins. So Isaiah 52 yeah. is leading up and including that. And it says, this is God saying, see, mm. my servant will act wisely or he will prosper. He will move ahead. My servant will act wisely and he will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were mm. appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man
mm.
and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle the nations, or he will many nations will stare and wonder at him, and the king's mm. mouths will be shut because of him. So it's speaking of this coming one, the Messiah in chapter 53,
mm. yeah.
to die on the cross, raise yeah. again. 52, it's calling him a servant, a samurai. And mm. so Jesus came, again, not with a sword to hurt people, but to love and protect. And this is where I preach yeah. clearly that Jesus is the greatest samurai. He's a servant of the Lord. He's whatever God says, I want to do that. Your will be done, Lord. You're the way. And he went to the cross and died for the cause.
Yeah.
It's an incredible picture of samurai, isn't it? How do you feel about that?
Mm, yeah, it's totally, yeah. It's the samurai and the Jesus is totally like, you know, the essence, the heart mm. is the same. And it feels like a really, like, I feel closer mm. to Jesus, right? It's kind of like, wow, yeah, amazing. The samurai yeah. heart, yes.
And we're called to mm. be his samurai, the servants of the king.
Amen.
So it's pretty yeah. amazing. I guess the last thing I want to say today, we could talk so many, we could keep talking for hours, but the thing that, when I came to Japan, I was told that Japanese do not receive Jesus. And if they do, it's going to take 10 years to make a leader. Now, we laugh at that and think that's ridiculous. You know, we don't believe mm-hmm. that. I never believed that. But it's true the yeah. church growth has been slow here. And but we found a people that we had to share the good news of Jesus with people that have the law in their heart. And mm. I think, and this can be controversial, I think many times the gospel was shared as good behavior. Mm. And the Japanese would have heard that and thought, that's just like us. In fact,
yeah.
Francis Xavier had that problem 500 years ago with people saying it sounds like Buddhism. I'm not saying it is.
Mm.
I'm not saying it is at all. But the values or the virtues are similar. And that's where there was mm. confusion 500 years ago. And I think there's been confusion as well in the last 70 years. Now, that doesn't mean Japanese don't get saved, and many have, many hundreds of thousands. But I feel there's something here that we need to say, Japanese, you're amazing and you've got the law, but that's not salvation. How would you share good news with good people?
Yeah, it's surprisingly, there are many, many good people in Japan. And if, as you say, if you teach, you know, have to be good, they feel like, yeah, I think that's right. But and the conversation is over there. But when we share, the grace enables you to be good all the time. It's, I mean, it's not all perfect, but like it helps you become that, live the standard you want to live. Like you know, we want to be polite, but sometimes you feel bitter to someone. Like, but Jesus gives you the power to forgive and then let it go and then be polite with your heart, that kind of things. Grace. So the grace message is really important in Japan. Yeah, that's what awesome. I feel.
I love that. We do preach out of grace a lot here. It's some people would say you teach too much, but in Japan and Korea, China, other countries here, Singapore, Malaysia, you can never preach too much grace. Japanese don't become lawless. They don't lose the samurai heart of loyalty.
Yeah.
So when people hear grace, it hopefully frees them to serve with a free heart, to serve with what you're saying, unburdened by issues of bitterness or unforgiveness. No, we need to unburden our heart so that we can serve the master who died for us and rose again. That's a pretty amazing message we've got, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, as Japanese, when I first heard about grace, and which is not something that I can give back, is all I can do is thank you, say thank you and receive. It like loses my, like the kind of like, you know, the nervousness, like it let it go, the relax and rest in God for the first time. So like the grace really is a key word in Japan, I believe.
The Japanese word is beautiful word, megumi. It's a beautiful word, but it doesn't hold the whole meaning of the New Testament concept, right? It's because it can be repaid. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it causes people to give. But with God giving salvation through the cross and resurrection, we can't repay that. And that's why I think when Japanese come to this moment of stress saying, how do I give back? And the answer is you can't. So we move to thankfulness, which is a New Testament concept. We read that with thankfulness we serve, with thankfulness we love, with thankfulness. So I think we can preach this in Japan, that there is a response. The response is thankfulness, and the response is serving, and the response is love, etc. So we've discovered this for 23 years in Japan. I'm a foreigner. You're a Japanese in a church with foreigners, but mostly Japanese. What would you say to other foreigners coming to Japan? Like we're sort of answering the question, but what would you say is good news to share in Japan?
Yeah. Some passionate foreigners coming to Japan share strongly the gospel with Japanese on street or somewhere. But like, I really want to encourage those formulas who are coming into Japan is like, please be friends with Japanese first. It's make friends, because Japanese people really want to make friends with you. And then that's like, you know, also we don't have that, like a verbal, like, you know, the expression of love. So it's like amazing that if you're from any Western world, I don't know, but share encouraging words and loving words. And then through that, I believe, because I was one of that, start opening the heart for the gospel and start hearing the grace message. So yeah, so please come to Japan and be friends with us. And that's what I want to say, yeah.
And what we found in Japan is amazing people who really are sincere and very giving, but without knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that was a shock to Westerners, that how can such a beautiful, modern, clever, healthy country never heard of Jesus? And it's a shock. So that's why we always say, come over and help tell the Japanese about the good news of someone who died for you and rose again. It's a new message. And so that's our task together as foreigners and Japanese. And I just love our church because it is so integrated. There is no sense of cultural superiority. It's just, let's work this out. I hope that's been your experience.
Yeah, totally, totally. It's kind of like, you know, as I said, being friends with those foreigners, became friends with me and share the with me that the Jesus died on the cross and the resurrection. It's kind of literally, yeah, amazing. I'm great. So thankful for that.
So just finally, what's your vision of the future? What do you see happening in Japan? Big question. The gospel.
Yeah, wow. Love the question. Yeah, been a question. You know, there's so many people to reach in Japan, 99%. And I love the fact that we are entrusted with that from God. And I'm really hopeful that the church is become the one of the options of the Japanese people. Is going to church and the church will become the option, and they come and hear the gospel and they make decisions there. So I'm looking forward to seeing this, us church become their option so that we can share the gospel with power. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to keep reaching out, sharing Amen. The gospel.
So as we finish about samurai, let's all be samurais for our great samurai Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
Well, God bless you. It's been great chatting with my great friend and pastor, Tusuke. Let's pray for Japan. Lord, I pray, Jesus, you are the great samurai who died and rose again. I pray we would serve you and we'd see many, many lovely Japanese get to know you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
See you later.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.